Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. I'm sorry about that. I was just having a heck of a time getting to you.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But that happens, you know.
Yeah. Is Mercury retrograde?
Again, I'm sure of it. It seems like it's that way a lot, doesn't it? But no, I heard a rumor that we're not going to be blessed with its company until August, but I don't know if that's true.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Me too. It's good to be here. Glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to finish the sentence if you're not here. You know, open air with...
Michael.
With Sangha. With Sangha. There we go. I have a few announcements here.
All right.
Registration closes tomorrow, April 1st, for Reflective Listening Buddies and Keeping Commitments Buddies. Sign up right away so you don't miss out on two of our most popular offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yoga for Sangha will be open until April 14th. All three offerings begin a new quarter, April 15th. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is fabulous.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. This is June in Georgia.
Well, hello, June in Georgia.
Hello. Well, I am here doing Qi practice. Just like a whole list of things occur to me to bring up. I think what I will bring up is I am among the walking wounded that we've been hearing from lately on our calls, people who have been injured.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that it is I feel so fortunate to have this Sangha, to have the people in this Sangha who can so clearly voice what's going on with them. And I see that I've been going through similar things, but for whatever reason, I don't have words for it. Now, maybe if someone sat me down and asked me questions, I could find words, but I don't. I don't know. I just don't kind of spontaneously know what is going on with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's also that thing that we always, that a lot of us always talk about of we have very similar experiences. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? Is that what I'm trying to say?
I think I was right with you that we are often aware of the fact that we have a shared experience. That we get on a, like we come to a retreat and everybody who speaks could we could say, yeah, me too. Or in a conversation on open air or wherever, the morning call, that it's that same feeling of everybody speaking for everybody.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
So that's good, right? Because if it were up to any one of us, it would be very tricky. So, you know, Jen, there's a subtlety with that too that I always really appreciate. So when I'm with Sangha, people will say things that I wouldn't necessarily say or probably wouldn't say simply because I don't know that I have that experience. I have the experience, but it's when they say it that I go, oh, right. That's the phrasing for that. And is that what you're pointing to?
That is exactly what I'm pointing to.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for that. I'm also, I feel sorry for me and for all of us who are calling in with broken bones and things. You know, I feel kind of sorry for us in one way because it's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, yeah. And to go ahead.
Well, were you going to go to the other hand? Because I was.
yeah, but I can't remember what I was going to say. You go.
Okay. So, yes, it's no fun. Most people would agree with that. You know me well enough to know that I think you can make anything fun if you put a little effort into it. But generally speaking, it's not anybody's first choice. And yet, we live in a world, at least for right now, where it can be taken care of. Right, there are people that we can go to. They're experts on the subject. They'll take care of it, and almost all the time it works. Right, so there's that. And then the thing that you started us out with, we have a sangha that we can tune into and be a part of during whatever circumstances in life happen to come our way, right? So we also have the experience of never being alone. We always have support. We always have a community of people who we know, whether with the privileged environment, it's not like they're all going to call you and say, oh, I'm so sorry, June, and I'm sorry that's happening with you, but you know they're feeling it. Right? In the same way that you feel it for somebody else or I feel it for somebody else, we know that everybody is feeling it for all of us.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. That's a lot to be grateful for. Because, you know, as you know, so many people in the world are surrounded by people. They don't have the privileged environment. There are people all around them all the time. But they don't have that same feeling of unconditional love and acceptance. It has nothing to do with personality, but has to do with the fact that you exist and we know one another's good heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That might not be fun, but we're sure lucky, huh?
Well, yes. Yes, you know, and I think one of the phrases for it is this is a first world problem.
Yes.
You know, breaking a bone right in the middle of like two minutes away from a hospital.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. With the ability to pay for it.
With the ability to pay for it.
Without losing your house and your car and your firstborn. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, June.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep healing.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thanks for joining us, June. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Tracy in Colorado.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey. Wow. It's been a while since I've been unmuted, and I'm doing cue practice, not rehearsed. There's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Uh-huh. You can sort of don't have to rehearse because you could kind of start anywhere?
I could start anywhere. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm participating in both year-longs and did the That Which You Are Seeking retreat at the beginning of the year. And just like from a process place, just, you know, participating in the exercises and, you know, doing a recording and listening practice, I'm just in awe, you know, what arose in the beginning of January and then, you know, each one of the retreats just providing next, you know, really rich place. And I had an opportunity, I was with my mom last week, which is always a, you know, wonderful place to be in a familiar setting, because I always go to where she lives, and just noticed the practitioner that's there participating in, you know, the time there and the richness of just all the steps, all the practices and all the exercises. And yeah, it's so rich.
Uh-huh. And so is it kind of that you do practice? And as you say, there's a retreat, there's a year-long retreat, there's the whatever is going on, and then there's going on retreat with your mom.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this recent time that I spent, it was so great to, you know, to be in, you know, companionship, like with a mentoring presence, and really get to practice, you know, that, you know, emptying the cup. And I kept picturing, you know, I would like the cup being more of a sieve, you know, just kind of noticing, letting things fall through, you know, what am I choosing? You know, really just wanting to choose to be in, you know, unconditional love and enjoying whatever it is that I was, you know, participating in. And it was so, you know, the reactivity was something that came up during the retreat in January. And so I could watch, you know, there was one incident while I was there where I could feel that reactivity and then be able to kind, you know, to work with that. And I think just that, you know, one of the things that I know we get to experience in practice, but it just feels like it's getting richer and richer, is how much more there's available to receive when we're not choosing the conditioned patterns. Like, I felt so much softness and so much love and so much appreciation, you know, like at a deeper level than I usually do when I'm there. And, you know, not to say there were moments and I could just being able to like stay in that process of being, you know, how I want to show up in the world, like that which we are seeking, and watch things come and go. Like, you know, like there's nothing to hold on to, and, you know, there's everything to hold on to, and it's not a holding on to, but what, you know, I think the part that's the, I don't know what word I'm looking for, is just that all I have is my experience. And that just feels, I don't know, it just feels really.
So let me see if I'm going with you here.
Okay.
Because if I am, then what you said is really, really, really important. So if I'm not tracking, Tracy, pretend that I am, okay? And say yes.
We'll
that
go in that
it.
Direction.
That yeah, exactly. So it, there you are, with your mom, and as we know, most relationships. I was going to say, you know, it doesn't matter what the relationship is. It could be with a clerk in the store, right? The potential for fraud is always there, because I think it was this morning. The comment was, or somewhere, ego is always ready to take offense. You know, ego is just always right there. Conditioned mind is right there looking for something to not like, right, to quibble over or be offended by. And so there you are going about in your time with your mom. And what you got to is that the only thing that's happening is your experience. Not whether your experience is right or wrong or good or bad or anybody else would see it that way or anything about it. It's just that in each and every moment, we have our own experience.
Yeah, and just hearing you hearing that back, yes. And you know, the interesting place where I got reactive, like internally reactive, was when we had a differing of opinions around my nieces and nephews' desire to not have children, and I could feel my reactivity, you know, at getting triggered, you know. I was just communicating, like, you know, there's so many, you know, more things to be aware of in the world that, or there's some, if you're, you know, there's bringing a child into this world, you know, there's a lot to be aware of that we didn't have, you know, during our generations. And she kind of took her position of, you know, we all just need to go on and enjoy our lives. And I, which is, you know, a little sticky that I have on my, my calendar of, you know, it's okay, you know, go out and enjoy. I just thought, like, oh my gosh, like, here is this place where I'm getting identified because my opinion about what go out and enjoy your life and her opinion about what go out and enjoy your life are different.
That's right.
And we
have to decide,
wow.
But which is the right way
right.
to go out and enjoy your life
right.
so that we can,
right.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I could see that personality, and when I did that little exercise around the, in the beginner's mind retreat, you know, and I just like this person that worries. So I can see where, you know, I don't, like, ignorance is bliss. I don't want to be ignorant, but there's a, you know, residual of worrying that comes like it's being helpful. And so I'm like aware of that. But yeah, that was our.
And the point is, the deeper spiritual point that I want to underline is you're having your experience. Again, I think it was on yeah. the morning show today that we got into a little bit of this, right? You're having yeah. your experience. That's all that you know. That's
yeah.
it. Yeah. And but what we stumble over is, yes, but my mother is having a different experience, and we need to know, I need to know who's right. Because
right.
we can't,
yeah.
we can't, you know, we can't go on like this. We can't go on like this with different experiences, which is the silliest thing, and yet it's kind of it's what people deeply believe. We if we have different experiences, then one of us is wrong. And unless somebody cops to being wrong or changes, does something, then we can't be in this relationship. Now, the alternative, of course, is... Yeah. The alternative is we could be fascinated.
Right.
Really? So, mom, your idea of enjoying life is having children. And so if somebody's going to go on and enjoy their life, then they should just have children, because that will be a joyful life. And then you perhaps would have the opinion that that's really no guarantee that you could enjoy your life perfectly fine without having children, or you could enjoy your life in a thousand other ways, right? So each one of you could be fascinated by, what do you mean by that? What is enjoying your life? What do you mean by that? Not as a deciding who's right and who's wrong, but just, what is your experience of that? Because clearly you're having a different one than I'm having.
Love that, Sherry. You know, I think I've received so much from, you know, hearing these calls being facilitated, and just that curiosity and that fascination and, you know, that wanting to know more. And I think in that time when I just could feel all the energy, it wasn't available to me. You know, when there's less energy there, it's available.
Yes. And yet, still in all, you were having your experience.
Yes.
Not the wrong experience. Yep. Not an experience you shouldn't be having, but just, and that is equally fascinating. Wow. Look at that. Huh. I wonder what it is about that. I think I'll interview that person.
You know, I did interview that person, and that's when I got to, so you're having an opinion about their opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. Thank you for all the opportunities.
Fun.
Very, very fun.
Yeah, indeed. Yep. All right. Go happy.
All right. You go happy, too. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Tracy. And that was fascinating, Sherry. I love that.
The things we assume and don't look into.
Yes, that are right there, right in front of us, so close we can't miss it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Michael, I think that's a big part of it, right? Because if we could be there for whatever it is, if we could be there with an attitude of fascination with every moment of life, I don't know. Imagine how glorious that would be. But there would be no place for ego, because ego is a no, not that. And so it has to be doing no, not that, no, not that, no, not that at every level. You know, no, not that mother's opinion, no, not that your reaction, no, not that, right? And so we can see the stakes on both sides. You know, the sadness, if we want to look at it that way, is that for us, usually, until we do a lot of practice, we don't realize the stakes are high for us. We can get to a sense of, if ego never has a chance to show up, then you can see why it gets so pushy, because it's, you know, its imaginary existence depends on being the center of attention much of the time, right? But we don't realize that our imaginary existence isn't getting a chance to enjoy itself when we are not as determined to be present as ego is.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we are going to go to Good News Update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right.
And Sherry, our guest is not available right now. And so how about we take another caller?
Yes, that sounds like an excellent choice.
All right. Let's see who we have next here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Let's try that again. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, it's Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Hi.
Oh, good to hear your voice. Oh, gracious.
Yeah. I had a really nice time during that silence, I have to say. It was lovely. But yes, it's an embarrassment of riches to be talking to you. I'm just so thrilled. And here and I was very inspired by the recent From the Guide email, where it was written that there is a movement afoot to get in the best shape ever.
Yes.
I was listening to the first caller with my own leg elevated, although I didn't have anything as broken as that. I have a chronic ankle problem that is needs some extra care and attention. But yeah, I really felt a surge of energy when I read that. And so I'm
You're
right
in.
Alongside the group that's doing that.
Good. Good. Yeah, I'm excited about it. There's been a good response so far. We're going to see if we, you know, what's the best date and time, day and time for folks. And then, you know, it's completely experimental, right? I mean, what I want it to be about everything, of course. I want it to be about diet and exercise and sleep and, you know, whatever somebody has going on. That they want to address and are having trouble sticking to. I mean, it's. I think it'll just be a more involved commitment buddies, and maybe parallel. You know, maybe there's kind of a little combination where we have a chance to talk about everything and get that kind of support, and then also, you know, somebody will have part of that program and have somebody to check in with, and at the end of the day and. Because it's hard. It's hard.
Boy, is it ever. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Any of those. Breaking any habit. It's always breaking a habit. You know, I have a habit of not following through. You know, we could say, well, I need to develop a habit of following through. Mm. But my real habit is not following through.
Mm.
So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that just sounds sounds so great. And when I was walking today, I was doing my walk, and yeah, just really felt like I don't know. Yeah, that like a structure like that would be just more fun. It would just be a lot more fun, and it would be shared. You know, when we go together, we go further, kind of thing. Because I think that, you know, I'm at an age where it feels like three steps forward and then there's some back, which used to just mean I would go forward more slowly, but sometimes it means I'm back further. So not that, you know, that's a measure, but anyway, I found that very exciting. To use it for everything, to use it as a way to see what's going on with conditioning around it.
Yeah, yeah. And the point that you just made is the essential one. It's a better time. You know, we could do anything on our own in theory. And, of course, the ego voices would tell people all the time,
Well, you can do this on your own. You don't need to go on retreat. You don't need to be in a year-long retreat. You can do this on your own. What's the matter with you? And yet the Buddha didn't seem to think people ought to do it on their own, because he's the one who came up with Sangha. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if he came up with it, but he was certainly very supportive of it. Mm-hmm. And so with it, with that idea that whatever we want to do, it's just more fun and supportive to do it with other people.
Oh, yes.
It just is.
For sure. Yes. Well,
whatever it is.
The break from the various retreats over the winter has definitely proven to me that I do better when I'm plugged in.
Yes.
And like the little crocuses I'm seeing everywhere, I'm starting to push the dirt away and into the sun, and it feels great. And that was just a lovely moment to read. I just felt aligned with this spring emerging and waking up.
Waking up and taking it on.
Mm.
It's that, you know, our first caller said, broken bones are not fun. And, of course, I always come back with some version of, well, it could be. You know, it's not fun, at least interesting. Compelling. And able to take us to places that we haven't been before. And, of course, one of the quickest ones that we have the possibility of getting to is caring for somebody, unconditionally loving and caring for somebody who is having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from being a theory that, yeah, we really do need to embrace everyone in unconditional love and acceptance to, yeah, there's somebody right here in my chair that is a candidate for that. Now, can I rise to that? Mm. And we always talk in awareness practice that the Buddha said it, of course, we each have one person to save.
Mm.
And that's really what we're talking about. And we have a karmically conditioned tendency to ignore that person as completely and for as long as possible. Mm. But then there are these times when that person is unavoidably here.
Mm.
And that's our opportunity to make that movement, to step across that line that ego has drawn and say, I choose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to care about oneself in that way is really, it's the whole deal. It's the whole deal.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Because in theory, you know, you can care about somebody else. And most everybody does, you know, the best job they can, caring for somebody else. And often feeling bad that they're not doing as good a job as they could. but where it's really, where the challenge really comes in is unconditional love, is compassion for oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Not indulgence and not teaching or training. Yeah?
I'm right with you.
That can be popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually compassionately present with oneself.
Yeah, because I have the data on me. I have all the data on me, on what's going on with me, every detail.
You are the world's foremost expert on that subject.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's the, and so I have all sorts of ways, like you were talking about, like getting together and talking. I can speak very expertly about my own experience and my own blocks and what's, my conditioning. I mean, it's all, I got it all.
Time to take full advantage of it.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. What? Spring 2026. Perfect time.
There we go. There we go.
Perfect time.
Yeah. Turning it all around one person at a time.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Cleaning it out.
cleaning it up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Jill.
Much. Take care.
More soon. More soon on that.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And Jill, I cannot mute you, so if you could mute yourself or call back in, that would be fabulous. And Sherry, we do have good news update now, so we'll do that. We'll come back.
All right. We have triumphed over technology once again. All right. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Great. Thank you, Sherry. And Jen, your good news guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Bob, who is here to speak with us about his experience of practicing in difficult times. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, well, the show has definitely teed up our topic nicely.
It has. It has.
On many levels, actually, on many levels.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what are you seeing as you're practicing with difficult times?
Well, I was looking at this, there's a story that I'm supposed to believe that, the world's falling apart. There's some people in my life who are facing some very big challenges and struggles and the conditioning that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the content in life is not going my way. And what conditioning wants to do is to point me to, conversation just about everything that's wrong, and everything's wrong about me that I'm not able to fix these things out in the world, And
it's always going to land there eventually, something wrong with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how else am I going to feel bad about it if it's not about
me? Exactly. It's got to come back, yeah. I mean, we can a little bit spend time on quote out there, but essentially the central character has to be the me, whose fault it is.
Yeah. And with practice, what I have gotten to more and more often regularly, is that, one, there is nothing wrong, and it's really the conversation, that's just trying to keep me in a place of suffering, whereas the belief is that somehow in the midst of me trying to be the right person and believing that I could fix these things, that I'm supposed to just be in that conversation over and over again, and that's going to lead to something other than just being in that conversation over and over again and suffering around it.
Wow, that's so big. Yeah. I mean, it's essentially the huge realization that one process does not lead to another. If I'm in a constant conversation about what's wrong, that is not going to lead out of there. But we're told part of the conversation itself is that it will, the belief that it will.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, the practice recently has been along the lines of, what we're looking at this weekend in the year-long retreat, to be setting alarms throughout the days to go off and then to be, essentially recalling this phrase, is that so, as a response to whatever message I'm noticing coming in from conditioning, mm-hmm. right? So if there's something wrong out in the world, there's something wrong with me, there's something mm-hmm. just wrong or mm-hmm. Or I should be feeling a particular way about something, mm-hmm. To be able to say something like, is that so, mm-hmm. Where that brings me to is this place of, kind of like that the place I think about a lot of is facing the white wall, either literally or metaphorically. We're like, there's only one thing going on. I'm here in this moment sitting on a chair talking to Jen. There's nothing else going on, right? But if the mind has me off there in a conversation about something wrong with me, whatever it is, the kind of feet on the ground, what is actually happening in the moment, checking in, that's all that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, because I can go to that place of, you know, well, actually, you know, if I look at any time and any point in history, there's someone struggling with something somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
It might feel like there's more right now, but is that so? You know?
Yeah, truly.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I'm in that place of, like, just being here with what's actually here, there's nothing wrong. And this person is capable of actually being here for whatever actually is here, which I'm far more capable of attending to rather than just being sitting here being beaten up by conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah. God. I mean, that is it, Bob. Just everything right there. Because in the moments, you know, so right now, truly, sitting on a chair, having a conversation, that's the sum total of what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, beautiful sunlight coming in the window, you know, that's what's going on. There is nothing wrong. And there are moments where, I mean, we've heard from a number of people tonight, you just broke your leg, there's pain. But the thing that's so interesting about that is that all of our experience is that we have always been profoundly adequate to those moments, because here we are. And so when those moments arise, and we're there for it, we're complete. Well, if we're not there for it and we're in the story of we're not adequate, we believe we're not adequate to it. But in actual fact, of course we're adequate to it, because here we are having the experience. So it's such a brilliant practice that you're talking about. Is that so? And coming back right here to where the feet are, where the hands are, what's happening in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I found it especially helpful when there's someone in my life who I'm engaging with, and they're suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what conditioning tells me is, like, I should be feeling terrible right now. I should be, you know, as in whatever state that they're in, because they're suffering, you know?
Right.
And, but when I'm in that place of just being present, you know, what I get to see is, like, actually, no, that's not helpful to either of us, right? You know, and that person, whatever they're going through, if I am just present with them, you know, that's my best opportunity to show up for them in the love that I have for them, right? You know, that, like, I can, because from that place, from love, it can be like, you know, expressing actually just that love, right? Or if it is actually looking at, like, you know, how can I support that person? It's how can I support that person, not how can I change what actually is happening in the moment?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's a profound demonstration of the insight that there is nothing wrong. And when whoever it is of us, me or the person I love in my life, whoever's suffering has lost sight of that, of nothing wrong. And how many times have we heard in practice, the greatest gift we can be for the world is to live from nothing wrong. And so by being that in the moment, having the experience that you're having, that presence, being with them in unconditional love, that's a profound modeling of there is nothing wrong. And that is the best thing that we can do for ourselves, for the people we love, and the entire world, really.
Right, right. Because, I mean, I always kind of, like, you know, flip the table. And it's like, well, if someone said, here's the thing you need to do to right this wrong in your life, it's like, well, that doesn't ever actually, for me, ever have worked. You know, what helps is for me to actually come to some, you know, through whatever means, you know, have something drop in that actually, you know, that I see in that moment that I find, like, I don't know whether it's the right or wrong thing, but it's like, well, this seems like the next step. And so I take that step, not someone externally saying, do this, or this is what's going to work. It's like, because the thing that practice keeps pointing me to is, like, you know, to be doing the practice, but then as I'm doing the practice, to find the willingness to actually bring it out into the world. You know, to actually, you know, if what drops in is, for me, it's like, you know what I think might be helpful, you know, for you is X. You don't need to do it, but that's just what's dropping in for me. Or what could drop in is, like, wow, that seems really hard. I actually don't know what the next step is or what might be. But in either of those cases, it's actually being here in the moment rather than trying to, like, you know, respond to what conditioning is pressuring me into doing.
Yeah. I mean, because the other thing, as you're describing it, it's so clear that you're offering the gift of adequacy, your adequacy and everyone that you're interacting with. And recognizing, you know, the other piece of it I was so struck by is how much it's, you know, it's their path, it's our path, not, you know, letting people have their own journey, if you will.
Letting, which, you know, when I look at it through practice, it's like, well, we actually don't have any other choice.
That's spot on. That's what's happening anyway, so we might as well get on, you know, be here for it and not have to suffer, not believe that story, that in order for me to show, you know, that I care for this person, that I need to somehow suffer as well. Such a great application of, you know, when there are difficult things and how to practice with it. So I really appreciate you being with us today, Bob. I'm sticking with it. Moving through the technological difficulties and staying with it to be with us to talk about it.
All right. Thanks so much, Jen.
Thanks, Bob. Go happy.
Go happy.
And Michael, I'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bob. And thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
A lot of wisdom there, huh?
Yeah, a lot. Indeed.
Yeah. So, and it's so heartening, comforting, reassuring that the best we can do or the best we can offer is just to be with. It takes so much pressure off to make the difference, to come up with the right thing, to be the solution, but in fact just to be with and to be open to and seeing what drops in, and very relaxing.
Yeah. Actually, the word that dropped in when you were talking was bedrock. Practice is a bedrock of support for life in any circumstance.
And so simple and so straightforward.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing to figure out.
Yeah. Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Double muted. All right, let's move on to the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Let's try that. Next caller, are you there?
Hi.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, this is April in North Dakota.
Oh, hi, April.
Hi.
So good to hear your voice.
Yes. So my question is, this is a new concept for me, that one process does not lead to another. Because I honestly have thought my whole life that one process does lead to another.
I know. You've thought that because we are heavily conditioned to believe that. The whole darn world believes that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the only way I can explain it is I was raised Christian, and I got it in my head that if I did everything right and I followed all the rules, that things would go my way.
Yes. You would please God, and God would give you everything you
yes.
wanted.
Boy, yes.
Isn't that a crummy thing to lay on a kid?
Yes, and I know even as I say it, it sounds unrealistic, but I really believed it, and it's caused
a lot of
heartache.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Of course you believed it. You were a little kid. Little kids believe anything they're told. How do little kids know what is so, right? And so,
yeah.
And so you did everything, and And then, of course, the real sadness is then, in many cases, people wind up blaming God. Right? Because you did your part, and then God didn't do God's part. So that's unfair. That's rotten.
Yeah, it caused a lot of, I didn't understand it.
Oh, and how could you? How could you understand it? Right?
Yeah.
You had to finally get to the point of saying, you know, I think maybe what I was taught wasn't true. Then we can understand it. Up until then, you can't understand it.
Yeah, and I said this to my husband, that one process does not lead to another. And he said, of course it doesn't. And I just thought, are you kidding me? I'm 50 years old, and this is the first time I've ever heard this. But
I'm surprised he had heard of it, quite frankly.
I don't know. He's figured it out, but I thought, absolutely, one process leads to another. If I act a certain way, if I do a certain thing, I'm supposed to get...
You'll be successful. If you're a nice person, people will like you. If you're... Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, what is... I mean, it's such a new concept to me. What is the truth, then?
Well, we have like three expressions. I think it was just in the latest blog I was referring to. What you do is what you get. What you practice is what you have. There's another one. I can't remember what it is. Yeah? But so what you do is what you have. Not you do something and then you get something else. Okay? Oh, the only thing you're going to get out of what you do is what you do. So if you work hard, then you want to work hard because you want to work hard. You don't want to work hard because that's going to make you successful. It's going to get you a lot of money. People are going to respect you. Okay? Because maybe, yes, maybe no. Could. Those things could go together. But simply because sometimes things do. Did that hang together?
I am. It is marinating in my brain. It's such a new concept to me.
Yeah. But as soon as you see it, it makes absolute sense, and it makes sense of so many things, April, in exactly the way that you've been exploring. Right? So it explains why what you were taught as a little kid produced so much sadness and suffering and frustration and probably anger.
Yeah.
Right? Because you were told that if you do that, you'll get that.
Yes.
And it wasn't true. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was never true. Now, if you work really hard to be the very best person that you can be, then there's a very good chance that you will at some point be the very best person you can be.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to get anything as a result of that? Well, you get to feel good about working hard to be the very best person you can be. And that's one heck of a reward.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole new concept for me. It's blowing my brain up.
Yes. It's big. It is really big. And as we've been just discussing, understanding it can end a lot of that suffering. A lot.
Yes. Oh, yes. Because I thought I could control situations and people and outcomes by doing something,
right.
X, Y, and Z.
That's right.
And, you know, sometimes it does work out, and so you would get fooled to think, oh, it is working. But when it doesn't work, I would get really mad.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and even when it works, the two don't go together.
Yeah. So they got twisted in my brain. Yes.
That's exactly, well, we believed something that we were told that wasn't true.
Yeah.
And so I can work hard. And I can be successful. But the person who has a great deal of success and money and says, well, it's because I worked hard, and then looks at other people who don't have a lot of success and a lot of money and set, and concludes that it's because they don't work hard. No, those don't go together. You worked really hard, and a lot of things went your way.
Yes.
And you were successful. Yeah. And a lot of people work really, 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 really hard, and things don't go their way. And they didn't come in with all of the same advantages. And so, no, they don't have a lot of money, and they're not successful. And in many cases, they are working way, way, way harder than the folks who have a lot of success and a lot of money.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Well, have fun playing with it. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry. Yes. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Bye.
Thanks
and
for
thank
joining
you,
me.
Michael.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. And April, I can't mute you, so if you could mute yourself.
She's going to be quiet.
We're at the end, and it was fabulous. And thank you.
Good time.
Thanks to everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Thank everyone. Here we go.
Go happy.
Go happy.